You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
It is Thursday, April 28th. We're talking Reds baseball today with Reds reporter Mark Sheldon. Mark, thank you for joining us. And Mark, no secret that the Reds were in for a very tough stretch of baseball this past week. Seven straight games against two of the NL's elites in the Cubs and the Mets. Sure enough, a mark of just 1-6 in those seven games after last night's 5-2 loss at Citi Field. Now the team has a day off today, this Thursday, to kind of catch their breath before another tough series at PNC Park in the Berg against a very hot Pirates team. So looking back at this tough seven-game stretch, Mark, what were your primary takeaways, good, bad, and ugly, for the Reds?
Well, it's kind of been the same as the issues that have plagued them since really the second week of the season. You know, they've lost 12 of 16 now overall, and it's just the pitching. It's just letting them down, in part partially because of some younger guys that are not able to get into the later innings. And then even if they do, the bullpen's just been too unreliable, and they're just giving up way too many home runs. They now lead the league, the major leagues, with 39. They're on pace for roughly a 300 home run season, which would smash the existing record of, you know, do what you want with those paces. I know they kind of slow down eventually as the season wears on. But the walks are way up, and Brian Price is kind of sees those two things as going hand in hand. And, you know, they're walking guys, and then those guys are, you know, after that are being forced to throw strikes and throw too many pitches, and eventually the hitters catch up to it and hit home runs. So that's been pretty much the big takeaway. The offense hasn't been doing that great. There's been some nice moments of offense here and there, but they've, you know, between the Cubs and Jake Arrieta and guys like that, it's been tough sledding for the, you know, for the offense to get going too.
Yeah, it's been tough all the way around for this Reds team. Again, just 1-6 in their last seven games against two very tough clubs in the Cubs and the Mets. And a potentially big concern for the Reds from last night's game was John Moscott departing with an injury. Kind of explain what happened and what plan B might be if Moscott has to miss any period of time here.
Well, he had as you may know, last year, three starts into his major league career, he had a freak accident where he was trying to make a diving tag and he separated his non-throwing left shoulder, had season-ending surgery. He get a late start this year because of an intercostal strain in spring training, but three starts now into second season, that shoulder seemed to start barking on him a little bit in the fifth inning of the game, his last inning. And it was pretty uncomfortable for him. They don't know if it was scar tissue breaking free or if he tweaked it or what he did. They did do an x-ray on it last night with the Mets team doctor. And they're just going to wait and see. And they're hoping for the best. Brian Price was pretty optimistic that it wouldn't be serious. Moscott, though, looked pretty uncomfortable. He was trying to get his shirt on. And he certainly, you know, his left arm wasn't as mobile as it normally is. So we'll wait and see. The backup, actually, though, could be interesting because with the three starting pitchers that are returning from the disabled list soon in Anthony DeSclafani and John Lamb and Homer Bailey, DeSclafani especially is making his final rehab start tonight in Dayton. He could possibly slide right into that rotation in that spot if they decide that they have to put Moscott on the disabled list. So that they have backup in that sense, but maybe they don't obviously want to see Moscott get hurt.
Obviously not. And Mark, I know that neither one of us own medical degrees by any stretch of the imagination, but from what you've seen in previous years, and you see these guys deal with these nagging injuries and things that kind of crop up out of nowhere, as what happened to Moscott last night with his non-throwing shoulder, could the cold weather in any way play a role here where it's just harder for guys to kind of get as loose as they could be or should be when we have summer-like weather, when the temperatures are in the 70s and 80s? It's a cold, raw night in New York. Could that in any way contribute to something like this happening to John Moscott?
I don't know about that specifically for this injury, but I know that's a concern for a lot of guys. That's something that they had to watch out for Devin Mesoraco. It's one of the reasons why he didn't play in the second game of the series. You know, he's coming off of a hip surgery, and they wanted to make sure that he wasn't sprinting down the line and aggravating something when it was, you know, yucky and cold out. They've been kind of careful with Zach Cozart in that sense, too. During the Chicago series at Wrigley, it was really cold, and they didn't want that to happen. I don't know. He felt fine. The only thing I can say for Moscow is that he felt fine the first four innings. This wasn't something that he dealt with from the get-go because it was cold, but it did catch up to him in the fifth. He didn't say that it was because it was cold. He just said it happened. and they don't really know why. But maybe, yeah, cold weather certainly doesn't help.
It's not helping at all, and you just look at the schedule today on this Thursday. You see the Tigers and the A's in hoodies at Comerica Park. The Pirates-Rockies game in Colorado has already been snowed out a little bit. I think wet snow there in Denver. So, you know, at some point, we're going to have spring and summer weather, but it's clearly not happening today as this cold spell has really been all across the country and not baseball weather whatsoever. And, Mark, speaking of general aches and pains, poor Brandon Phillips, my goodness. Back on Monday night, you got a feel for that poor guy. Perhaps the most painful at-bat I've seen in quite some time. He first fouls two balls off his shin, and then to top things off, he gets a fastball on the finger by none other than Noah Syndergaard of all pitchers. He has not played since. What's the latest with him?
He's still day-to-day, but Price believed that he would be ready by Friday. That'll be three full days off out of the lineup, including today's team off day. So that seems pretty likely. He doesn't like taking a lot of time off. He's not known for, you know, milking injuries and things like that. So I would expect to see him back. He's very lucky, though, that one in on his hand wasn't worse. That was a 98-mile-an-hour fastball, and the x-rays were negative on his finger, but that could have been a lot worse. And he, one thing you do have to watch out for him is he has had hand injuries on that left side before. He got hit within the left forearm a couple years ago by Tony Watson of the Pirates. And he really wasn't the same after that, even though he only missed four games. And then, of course, last year, I think the year before, he tore ligaments in his thumb trying to make a catch, and then cost him 33 games, and he also kind of wasn't the same when he got back. So they're going to have to definitely watch and make sure that his hand isn't, you know, adversely affecting his hitting.
Did he immediately fear for the worst when that first happened? Because, you know, his reaction to it, as obviously anybody would, you know, he was in some serious pain. What was kind of going through his head when it first happened?
Yeah, he certainly thought it was going to be worse. He kind of said Thor got the best of him, and kind of called that at bat a big L. So sometimes it's hard to tell with him with the injury thing on the field. Because, like I said, I know he doesn't milk injuries as far as missing playing time. He hates missing playing time. But I will say with some degree of certainty, he does have a flair for being a little dramatic when he has an on-the-field incident, like a pain situation. I can't always pick out how serious some of these injuries are. Sometimes it looks like he's, you know, headed for the emergency room and he comes out and plays the next inning. So but I will say that he was definitely in a lot of pain from being plunked on the hand. It's a very hard spot to be hit. There's no flesh, there's no protection. And it's fastball. And like you mentioned before, the cold weather certainly doesn't help that either.
Yeah, of course not. And potential theatrics aside, having that combined with fouling two balls off your shin, that is an at-bat that he would love to put behind him and quickly. So hopefully Brandon Phillips is going to be okay. Shifting gears here a little bit, I find it interesting that despite the team's struggles, they have just four wins in their last 16 games. They continue to steal bases at a very high rate, entering today 17 steals on the season. That is tops in the NL. Is that something you kind of expected out of this team coming out of spring training, given their personnel, or is this more along the lines of a rather pleasant development that nobody really saw coming?
Well, I expected it, but I didn't expect it to come from as many players as it did. I kind of expected most of those bases to be from Billy Hamilton, but he hasn't got on base. He's been struggling offensively. He's got four steals, but they've kind of spread the wealth around. Brian Price, when he first took over as manager, really wanted to make an emphasis on running and taking the extra base and trying to produce runs that way, and it didn't really happen the first couple of seasons to the degree that he wanted. And this year, it seems like they're doing some things very smartly. They're not just running on anything and creating havoc. They really are picking their spots. They're picking pitchers with slow times to the plate or don't quick step or doesn't necessarily work on the slide step or any of that stuff. They're looking at deliberate pitchers like De La Rosa and Syndergaard that take their time and they try to take advantage. They stole five bases in one inning on De La Rosa of Colorado last week, and they got five on Syndergaard the other night, and that's leading to runs. It does help them have rallies and produce runs. They just have to find ways to do it more and then pick those guys up with some bigger hits.
I know one guy that has not been stealing bases lately is Jay Bruce, but for a very good reason. His wife just gave birth to a baby boy, so congratulations to the Bruces. Have you had a chance to speak with him lately?
No. He was in Texas on paternity leave. He's due back Friday in the lineup when they're in Pittsburgh. So I would expect him to be greeted warmly. He did post a picture of the boy, the baby boy. So looks like all is going well. And of course, it's their first child, so he's very excited.
Yeah, absolutely. And he might be a little sleep deprived when he returns to the team on Friday, but that's certainly understandable given the circumstances. Congrats to him and his wife, of course. And Mark, just to wrap up here, it would not be a Reds podcast without some weekly updates on the progress of some injured arms. We touched on this a little bit already, but again, just the latest on Bailey, on Lamb, on DeSclafani. I know Bailey in particular had a recent rehab outing where the defense behind him was less than stellar, so it kind of skewed his numbers somewhat. Just kind of talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, in Pensacola, they made 5 errors behind him that didn't give him the amount of innings he would have liked to have gotten. He got 78 pitches in 4 innings. They were hoping to get him to go 5. Right now, he's on schedule to pitch on Sunday at Louisville, but he indicated to the reporter in Pensacola that he might ask for an extra day there. He's kind of fatigued. In the last week plus, he's traveled from Arizona to Cincinnati, went to Louisville, back to Cincinnati, to Pensacola, back to Cincinnati, and then back to Louisville again. So he might want to just, ease off the gas a little bit and let his body recover. His elbow feels fine. They were happy with the reports of his velocity and his pitch control and his arm strength, so that was good. DeSclafani's throwing tonight in Dayton, and they believe that's going to be his final rehab outing as long as everything goes okay. And conceivably, he can go in the rotation next. And then John Lamb, who came off of a really kind of a poor outing where he got clobbered and they weren't really happy with his effort in Louisville, turned in a really good effort. He threw 105 pitches over 8 innings in Louisville last night with 80 strikes. So he certainly heeded the message that was sent to him, I guess, and he looked pretty good. I don't know yet. They haven't really specified whether he would get another start down there, whether they would bring him up in the rotation or send him to AAA, an option him. That's still kind of in the air right now. They haven't decided on him, but I think you'll definitely see a changeover in the next week or so of the rotation. You could see 3/5 of the rotation looking mighty different.
Yeah, that could be a big boost for a Reds team that just went through a very difficult stretch of 1-6 against the Cubs and Mets, a day off today. We'll see how they do at PNC Park in Pittsburgh against the Pirates this weekend. Mark Sheldon, we thank you as always for the time. In the meantime, Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras, Cincinnati Reds.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.